So last week we began this thought process of surviving is good, but thriving is better. And I'm not going to rehash a lot of that, but we didn't get all the way through it. And we went through and talked about the definition of surviving, and surviving is good. I've survived many of things with God. How about you? You know, God has been there, helped me. Well, I've survived it through his help. But I also know there's a deeper measure of God that he has for all of us. And that's that measure of he would like to see us thrive. To thrive. Remember why I said thrive is? It's to flourish. It's to grow vigorously. God wants his people, his children, to grow vigorously. To flourish with the things that he has for us. Why is that? It's because he sees the potential that he's put in each and every one of us. At times, we don't see that potential, do we? That's why sometimes we're just thankful to be able to survive, you know? But God says, no, I would like for you to thrive as well. Remember, our thrive says to remain alive, to exist, to live on, to continue to function or prosper, despite your circumstances or situations. Many times, that's survival. We're surviving the circumstances, the things of this life that comes upon us. But I truly want to get to that point of thriving. I want to grow vigorously with God. How about you? Whew! That just gets you going to think about it, to grow vigorously, to flourish, to gain those things that God has for us. See, even as a Christian group, even as an individual Christ follower, I myself limit to what God has for me because of me. You can all point to yourself. It's because of me is where I'm at with God. Because God has me planned out. And we've said many times that I don't know where I'm at in that walk with God, but I know there's greater things before me. How about you? There's greater things in your life. There's greater things even in this year. There's greater things even in this week for you. If we are able to grab a hold of those things and trust God and believe in God, despite what? The circumstances or the things that you're seeing with the natural. And it's not to take away from and say that, oh, we're just going to walk with blinders on, even though it does say that, you know, you should walk with the frontlets on. But we're not walking with blinders to say, I'm not going to say that I'm going to ignore this problem or ignore this situation. I'm going to identify those things, but they're not going to remain there because I'm going to go to God who goes before me, who prepares these things, who has my best interest, and I want to thrive and I want to flourish and I want to grow. And Lord, this situation, this circumstance, this situation over here, whatever, it's a hindrance to me, Lord. Now, did I bring it on myself? That's one of those things. Maybe I need to repent and say, Father, forgive me, you know. But even by asking for that forgiveness, he will show up and say, okay, let's go on. So today we want to kind of touch upon that. So thriving, surviving. And I said last week, you know, the opposite of both of those is dying. You know, how sad it is to see sometimes our Christian brothers and sisters, how sad it is to see, just look at yourself sometimes, to think of where at times on God's walk have you died. You know, we're not talking in the physical sense. This is all spiritual things. These are things in the spiritual realm that God has, because his word says that this battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's in the principalities. It's in the things that we can't see. That's why the world is getting beaten up all the time. These people that are lost, they think it's all okay. They think that whatever, you know, is just happening and it's going to happen. Well, yes, but there's a spiritual battle taking place that we all, as followers of his, we need to take that stand and know and be wise, amen? To be wise of the things that God has and to know the situations that we see around us as well are not that of God, but of the God of this world. We know the God of this world would like for you to die in your spiritual walk. He would like to see you just, you know, stop following God. And that's the things that we look at as pastors and just you in general. We're all ministers of the gospel. And it's to look around and see people that were vibrant for God at one time, were on fire, were serving, were doing so many things for him. And then for whatever reason, something happened. And they didn't thrive. They didn't even survive. But they died. Like the fruit on the vine, you know, it died. They left their source of power. They left their source of ability, like the vine dresser, you know, there's that teaching, and we've been through that of the vine and the branch, you know. But that's hurtful at times to see people that we have known that maybe have fallen by the wayside. They've died spiritually into those areas because of whatever situation. It was so difficult or whatever that they couldn't even prosper despite that circumstance or that situation. Or maybe they did some things and they have some blame to be in that definitely. I don't know. We're not here to judge that. I'm just saying we see these things happening. All I know is, guess who I need to be aware of and look out for? Me. Not that I'm selfish. You need to look out for yourself too, right? You need to be in God's Word. You need to be hearing from Him. You need to be knowing that if something happens to you at 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't need to call the pastor to say a prayer for that situation, because you have the ability, as much as I do, to go before the throne of God. Amen? Amen. To come before the throne of God boldly. Amen. And that's that ability that we all have, to come to Him boldly in a situation that we know that He's hearing us. I think sometimes people get timid when they say, well, go boldly. If they have maybe some sin in their life, or they're not in the right manners with God, they're going to say, I don't want to go see Him. I don't want to stand before Him. I'm not going to boldly go to Him. But we can do that. In Hebrews, it tells us to do that. So we are looking at this area here of thriving and surviving. And we shared a little bit about some examples last week on surviving is okay, but thriving is better. And what he took me into was back into the Old Testament, and when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and how he delivered them. And I can't remember exactly, I think we got into where Numbers, I wanted to start there at Numbers. But we do find that, number one, God is a covenant-keeping God. He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he promised them the children. He was going to take them to the promised land, their descendants. There's a much better place out there. And he promised that, and he followed through with that. And you can read that in Exodus about the deliverance that was spoken of in chapter 5, verse 22 to the beginning of chapter 6. We'll share about the deliverance of that. We talked about in Numbers 13. I'm going to just kind of go to Numbers 13. Oops. Oh my goodness. You know, we talked about in there. And this is discussing, and now remember, we're keeping the thought process of surviving and thriving. And we can go through and we'll read some scriptures to where the children of Israel survived throughout the wilderness, didn't they? Everything they had need of, God provided. Nourishment, liquid. Matter of fact, you find in Deuteronomy 29:1 where it talks about God provides shoes and clothes that didn't wear out. That's the God that I serve today. How about you? See, He's still the same. Remember, we just, great is Thy faithfulness, the unchanging. You can always rely upon Him. And what He provided for and what He did for those children of Israel, we come to also find out that those that were above the age of 20 didn't even make it into that land, because they were kind of set in their ways. They didn't receive what God had. They were whining and complaining, and they had idolatry, and you know, everything that would go wrong would go wrong. When it was going good, they liked God. When things would get a little rough, they would be moaning the facts of, why did He bring us out here to kill us, type thing. Have you ever said that at times in your life, maybe? Going through a situation that you've said, oh God, You sustained me through this and this, and now I'm here, and You're going to leave me right here when I've got this situation taking place? Hopefully we don't do that, but there's times that we might. But I also know that if I recognize that and I say, oh Father, forgive me, Lord. I don't want to be like the children of Israel. The Lord has given us such a blueprint of life and the things that, how He deals with things. I am I guess at this point, I'm glad I'm alive at this age to be able to reflect back on all the scriptures and all the testimonies and all the stories to show how the hand of God moved in different situations, because I can look at those things and go, man, I don't want to act like that. And we look at those things saying, well, I would never be like that. Well, be careful when you say that. Don't ever say, I'll never be like that, you know, to a point, you know. It was except by the grace of God, there go I type of a thing, you know, the grace of God. So in Numbers 13, we shared, I think, last week a little bit about how the spies were sent out. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he says this to Moses, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, every one of the leader among them. And so that takes place. All these 12 tribes, they send a leader out. Verse 17, then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan, and he says to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is of good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. And it just goes on. Look and spy out this land. Whether this land is rich or poor, whether there's forest, there's not, be of good courage, bring some of the fruit of the land back. And this was the season for the first ripe grapes. And so these spies go out in verse 21. They went out and they spied among the land from the wilderness. And they looked and they found in the entrance, and they're going through the land just like they've been instructed to do, to look at everything about this place. And then, of course, they come upon through the south, Hebron, and they come across and they're starting to find the descendants of Anak, and they're beginning to see some things that they don't like to see. But then they come to the valley where it's the branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them. Could you imagine a cluster of grapes that big that it took two to carry it on a pole? Wow. They also brought pomegranates and some figs back. To this day, this is called the Valley of the Cluster. And they returned from spying out the land. And how long were they in that land? It wasn't just over the border and look at it 2 or 3 days. They were there for 40 days. 40 days looking this over, making sure they were taking a look at everything. And now they departed. They came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel. They showed them the fruits of the land. And then they told them and said, well, we went to the land where you had sent us, and it truly does flow with what? Milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Look at this. This is some tremendous stuff. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities there are fortified, and they're very large. The Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all the enemies of the past, they're all in this land and they're big. And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. But before he did that, you notice as the spies went out, they sent 12. We're going to find in a little bit what the two had a good report to the point of, hey, we can go do it because it's there and the Lord is faithful. But even though they saw the 12 come back and they saw all that was there and the benefits, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey, it was a land that was rich in everything that you would need to sustain life, to sustain a society, to sustain your family. It was all there. Remember, they are coming through the wilderness. They're surviving in the wilderness, and the promise that God had given, and Moses was taking them there. God was taking them to a land that they were not just going to survive in, but I would say they were going to flourish and grow vigorously in, Canaan. But we have some people that are sending them, brought back a good report, but they're also now saying, well, that's all good, but let me tell you about here's what we really need to know. There's a problem. There's a lot of people. There's enemies. They're big. They're heavily fortified. You know, I just don't know. Caleb, he quiets down the crowd on verse 30, is it? And then the people before Moses, and he says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are what? Well able to overcome it. To be able to have power, having the capacity to prevail or succeed. If you look at the word thrive and you look at a word similar to thrive, prevail is another word of thrive. Endure is another word that you could be used there for thrive. But he's saying to prevail or succeed. In Ephesians, you find an endure is another word. It is translated as endures. And so anyway, Caleb is saying, we are able to go, let's take possession, for we are well, not just able, we're just not mediocre going to be, we are well able to do what? To overcome it. To get into that area of your life from success or survive, I should say, to thrive, you are going to have to overcome some things. Amen. See, there's a plateau, there's a growth, there's a development in our Christian walk with God. He desires all the good and best things for us. But we also know that we're in this place that is strewn about with the things of the God of this world wanting to trip us up and create hardships and create circumstances and situations. But there are some things that we, even here, we need to overcome in our life. You need to overcome them in the natural for sure. You need to overcome them in the spiritual side as well, as far as being able, because I'm going to tell you, you are more than able to conquer the things in the spiritual realm as well. Amen? You are. Because of the Holy Spirit in us. This strength that I've got, this power that I've got, this knowledge, whatever it is, it's not just from my abilities. It's because of the downloaded power and the knowledge that God puts into us, because Jesus said, I must go so that He, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come and lead you and guide you into all truth and the things of what our Heavenly Father has. You are not going to be shortchanged serving God. You will have to survive in some areas. You're going to have to overcome some areas, but you're going to need to know that you are more than able to conquer those things that are happening to you today. Amen. And I don't know what it is. If everybody spoke of something, you've all maybe are dealing with something today. Some may look at it and think, wow, I thought I had a problem, but after hearing that guy, I don't have any problem, you know? That's kind of the way it is. But to that person that is going through it, it's a situation. And it's a hindrance. It's a problem. It's a something. It's a weight upon them. But as we look at how God was faithful to the children of Israel, as the spies went out and they saw grandeur, they saw wonderful things that was promised to them way back in Exodus and all this, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. They did find that. And they said, true enough, it is. But there's some issues there that I don't know if we're, I don't know if we can overtake them though. But Caleb says that. But then the men in verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. When the Lord is on your side, when God has given you a mandate, when God has given you direction, do you think there's anything in power out there to stand against God? No. God will prevail. Yes, it's going to be a battle. Yes, you're going to have some skirmishes. Yes, you may be bumped and bruised and whatnot, but God will prevail as we stand with Him and Him with us. Because I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to call upon Him and saying, this is a battle. But Your word says, You go before me. And I'm saying, Lord, go before me now. Prepare the way. Stand guard at my rear. Guard me from the sides. Protect me, Lord. And I'm going to go and overtake whatever it is. But You've given me this mandate. You've told me this. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it. And so we find that some of these men had gone up and they're saying, oh, they're stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. They're not denying what they saw, right? They physically saw. See, in our faith and our walk with God, it's not to deny and say, oh, it's just all well and good. It's going to be okay, you know. But with faith, you see things as though they're not. And that faith that we move out in is not the faith that the faith that I have in myself. I know I would probably be overcome, you know. But the faith that I have is that my God will take care of this thing. If I'm moving with him, if I'm hearing from him, if I'm staying connected to him through his word, through prayer, through meditation, where if I am saying, God, there is nothing on this side of heaven where I'm at here in this world that measures up to anything that you have or has for me. And I'm going to serve you in this place. And whatever that means, Lord, I'm going to serve you. And when it comes to the point to where it's difficult for me to serve you in my own strength, Father, would you undergird me with your strength? Because I want to please you. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I want to do what Jesus says. I do and say in these things, not to bring honor or glory. Don't look at me, but look at the one that sent me. And bring honor and glory to your heavenly Father. Amen? Is that what we're about today? That through our life and through our situations that we go through, when somebody says, how do you handle it? And you say, well, if it weren't for my God, all honor and glory to him. Was that old? Here we go. Uh-oh, here we go. Hold on. All honor, all power, all to, all the glory to him. And that's our walk with him. So anyway, we're getting to this point. And so now they're coming there. Their spies are saying, no, let's not do this. You go on to read there, and we're going to jump over here to something else. But you will go to find out that those 10 spies that spoke contradictory and saying, let's not go, they didn't make it. Matter of fact, they died of a plague. There's a ball. I thought, that's not the thing growling, is it? No, it's safe. So as we go forward with the things of God, even in 2019 or any year, I said this is for any day, any year, doesn't matter, is that, you know, there's going to be things that we see in the natural that's going to be looking at, boy, this is kind of like impossible. I don't know how this is going to work. I've had that happen many times in the walk that God has me on for the last 20-some-odd years. In the very, 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 very beginning of it, it was really a thing like, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm hearing from you, and if I'm hearing from you, you're going to take care of it, and it's with you. But I've always said the same thing, though, to him right after that, but I said, Lord, if I've misstepped, if I'm not doing something that I should be doing, and I didn't hear you clearly, or my own emotions got in the way of that, Lord, correct me. Set me straight again. I think that kind of goes as we look at Proverbs, where we have that reverential fear, the fear of the Lord. I revere him, I honor him, I respect him, because that I know that he is God. And that he's honest and truthful, and he doesn't change, and I can trust that. And I know he'll put my feet back on the path, amen, that I need to be. So we've looked at that. The spies have been sent out. Now, Numbers 14, we get into that. Now, this is the thing we talked about, and let's look at this a little bit. In Numbers 13, 1-3, and this is where we kind of went a little bit, and I started off with this, but it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel, from which each tribe of their fathers shall send a man. And Moses sent them into the wilderness according to the command. So we've done that. He's honoring and obeying that. The people of Israel would have rather died where they had come from. How many times did we read that they just said, oh, I would rather just go back? And in our walk with God today, don't fall for that. Don't say, oh, I would just rather go back to where I began, you know, and just die there. It's the journey that the Lord has us all on. It's awesome, isn't it? There's been some good times, amen. There's been some bad times, amen. But they've all turned out to be good as we have that trust and faith in Him to flourish, to grow vigorously with Him. Numbers 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel complained, oh my goodness, complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation says to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord, verse 3, brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephuvah, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. So Caleb and Joshua, they're tearing their clothes. They're like, wait a minute, you know, they're trying to get they're in this distraught here. It's like, my gosh. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying that the land that we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. It's exceedingly good. My God, my God. Things that you have for us are exceedingly good. It might be a battle, it might be a struggle to get to it, but it is good. And I'm going to hang on, and I'm going to persevere, and I don't want to turn back. I'm going to grow and thrive with those things that God has. And so they fell on their face, they're speaking to the congregation, they're telling them it's exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land here again which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Oh boy. How many rebel against the Lord even today? You know, we rebel against Him. Nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. They are our bread. We're going to eat them alive. That's what that's saying. Bread is food. We're going to have them for lunch. Come on! You know, don't listen to the negative report of those ten. It's okay. We're going to get it. If the Lord's promised it, flowing with milk and honey, we're going to get it. And these people are going to be nothing but food for us. And our bread, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. All the congregation says, well, isn't this great? Start them. I mean, come on. And I was like, you got these two characters, you got... Stone them! Kill them! They're crazy! And all the congregation says, stone them with stones. But now, what appeared? The glory of the Lord appeared. He appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. And the Lord says to Moses, verse 11, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? How long is it going to take for them to come to a realization that I am a God of my word? That they have seen me perform miracles for them. And then when opposition comes, they want to turn around and run. And if I've got some strong people within that body to say, it's okay, you'll make it, you'll survive, God will be with you. And those people that they're saying to all of a sudden turn on them and say, kill them, they're crazy, stone them. And God is saying, how long will they do this? What's it going to take for them to realize that I am God? And that I love them? That I have their best interest? Really, their best interest is nothing more than I am a covenant-keeping God. I promised to this to their forefathers, and I will see it through. What has God promised to you individually? I know we read His Word, and the rhema of it might come to us and really get into our spirit and say, ah, that's for me. That's for me. That verse is for me. And somebody else reads that verse, and they might say, that verse is for me too. Well, so be it. And then another person reads that verse, and they go, I don't get nothing out of it. Well, so be it too, whatever it is. God speaks to us through His Word and the rhema coming alive within us. Could be that area of a prophet. Somebody prophesies over you and just shares something about your life or shares something. And here again, folks, I have always found that whenever, it's been a long time, but I've had somebody would prophesy per se over me, it's been something that's confirmed something that I've already stepped out with the things of God. I've never gone off on the deep end because this lady or guy says, thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 do this. Okay. No. Generally, it's always been something that I've already have heard from God, have been looking at, have been sensitive to God, have been talking to God in my prayer time, meditating time, reading scripture, getting a peace about it. And then maybe when that decision comes or it's about ready to be made, somebody, maybe the Lord will say, I'm just going to give you just one more nugget, Tim. And this person could just come and just say something that says, the Lord's with you, and he knows right where you're going, and it's going to be wonderful. Okay, here, you know, things of that nature. I don't know. There's a lot of things I could go into that I don't have time to. But how the Lord has confirmed some of these things with prophets and prophecies and things that come to speak. The worst thing is to do to have somebody just share a word with you, and if you don't know them, and they tell you, God is with you, go jump off the bridge, and he just wants to show how much he loves you. It's like, well, if he's not told me to jump off the bridge, I ain't going to do it. But even in our lives here today, in 2019, many, many decades and centuries removed from all of this that's taking place, I wonder how many times God says, how long is Tim going to reject me? How long is he going to not believe me with the signs and the things that I've performed already in Tim's life? He's seen my mighty hand. Where did that go? But anyway, so this is God. He says now in 12, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. Ooh. Disinherit. Cut off from the covenant. Disinherit. Cut off from the blood. Okay. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Moses says to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people out among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard you said, Lord, you are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face with your cloud, stands above them and goes before them and all this. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, well, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he had sworn to them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And I now pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken. Verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering. Oh boy, abundant in mercy. We all benefit from that. We are all benefactors of his long-suffering and his abundant mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children, and you know, it talks about generational things of that nature that are also involved in that as well. But then it's going into, let's see, I want to jump here really quick. We've got a little bit of time. Then the Lord said in verse 20, I have pardoned according to your word. I tell you, those children of Israel, they owe a lot to Moses. Huh? He interceded. Moses interceded for these people. As much as they spoke against him, against God, Moses always stepped up and said, but now wait, what about? Give them this, give them that. You know, well, even Moses at one time got kind of frustrated with them too, you know, but hey. Then the Lord says, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Oh, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of what? The Lord. All the earth. Is Janesville part of the earth? Is your neighborhood, your house, wherever you are, is this church, is this part of the earth? Hallelujah. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and I have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I have swore to their fathers, nor shall of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. And now the Amalekites and the Canaanites that dwell in the valley tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And so we find that God is faithful. I lost track where I was at with that there, but there is a thing to where he got them right there to getting ready to cross, and the people didn't even want to cross. It's like, here you are, just cross this water, just cross. There's Canaan, there's the land. There's the land, and see these grapes on this vine, how big they are? That's the food, that's the substance, that's the things that are over there. But we even get to the point where I found that, I thought, oh my gosh, Lord. They even get there and they didn't even want to go on. As I wrap this part of the thing up thinking about this, it's like what's happened here is that the Israelites, that they lost their perspective. How many of us today lose our perspective with the things of God? You know, God has given us wisdom and direction and focus. He's given us his word to follow and to read and to ask for guidance through that. He's opened up an area where we can go by prayer and just pray and meditate with him and pass our concerns up to him and say, Lord, I need answers. I need help. I need direction, Father. And sit there and just meditate under him and listen to what he has to say. But just as they, the Israelites, have lost perspective of God, and they get caught up in the situation, they get caught up with what they see happening right here, and what's happening right here in the closeness maybe of them is they don't see that promise over there. Because they're lost perspective. They focused on something close and not seeing the far away reward. So they lost their perspective. The people were caught up in the emotions of the moment, forgetting what they knew about God's character and the abilities to meet the need at hand. That's no different than today. I can easily get caught up in the emotions of the moment. How about you? I can begin to just go crazy trying to figure things out. You know, okay, I got a plan. It's all working. And just let something happen. It just changes a little bit. And all of a sudden I might go, oh, now what? What do I got to do? I got to change something. It's not going the way I should. What am I going to do? And you start thinking, rather than just being calm and saying, okay, Lord, now what's next? Where do I go from here? What do you want me to do? What do you want me not to do? You know, sometimes as much as God tells us to do things, a lot of times he tells us things not to do, you know? You know, and sometimes we hear that old thing. It's like when you're no longer hearing God where you're at, go back to where you last heard him. Go back to whatever that point is and say, oh, Lord, I must have strayed off of whatever, the path or the direction. Help me. But we look at these stories, and I said, boy, weren't they silly to doubt God? Weren't they silly to come back with that negative report? Whoa, didn't they know what God spoke and said he would do and fulfill? They are so silly. Oh, boy, Tim, aren't you so silly? Didn't you hear what God said to do? And you began to get fearful. You began to get run by your emotions. We know the one thing is that you don't want your emotions to run you, do you? Because your emotions end up doing what? They're all over the place. You're crying, you're laughing, you're happy, you're sad, you're and we end up allowing our emotions to run us or to direct us, and it gets us into just a circle where we can't make anything wise decisions. But you know, it takes a lot to be able to stop too when you're in that emotional spiral. You got to sit there and say, enough! Enough! I know better! I'm going to sit here, Lord. I need to hear from you, Father. Forgive me if I've misstepped. Forgive me of my errors, Lord. What is it? I need help. I need your direction. I need focus. Refocus me, Lord. Because I want to honor you, Lord. I want to testify to people saying how good you are. How wonderful you are. Oh yeah, had a rough life. I did this, did that, had this, that I had to work through. But God is faithful. Amen. Whatever we've gone through, that's the past. Hallelujah. The past is the past. I'm happy where I'm at with him today. I'm looking forward to where we're going tomorrow with him. How about you? Are you looking forward to the next day with God? Many times we look at the next day thinking, oh, great, I got to go to work. Oh, great, it's got to do this. Oh, next week, I got to take that. Oh, next month, I got to do this. No, look with great anticipation what's next. What's the next day? What am I going to do? What do you have for me to do, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you? And it's going to be a struggle in my life. Well, Lord, I'm going to need help, and you're my helpmate. You're going to take care of it. You're going to provide it. You're going to be my strength. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Father. So today, we kind of wrap this up here a tad early, but we're going to keep looking at a little bit of this. It won't be much longer, I think, but I'm just going to kind of hear, okay, Lord, where do we go from here but to thrive? I just want us to be flourishing and growing vigorously with the things of God. Because when you find people that are growing and developing these things with God, you find a good bunch of people, amen? You find strong people. You find people that they have their head screwed on right. Whatever we call about that, you know. We find that we're going into this together. We are a body of Christ. We are the body of Christ moving forward, praying for one another in their situations, encouraging one another in their situations, going as a unit, amen, of people filled with God and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, amen. We're all saved, right? You all got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, that's good. You need that to get going from anything else. But don't stop at the salvation. Kind of keep going to where you find the abundance of the things of God and what really God has for you and what God has planned for you, because he's got much more planned than even where we're at today. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's more out there for you that God has for you that is good? Well, let's go grab it. Let's go into that promised land. Let's go whatever your promised land is, wherever your Canaan is at. Amen. Don't get up there and going, oh, I'm not going. It looks kind of scary. I'm going to go, Lord, because you're there with me. And this is the word that you're giving me. Thank you, Father. Be careful of those around you that might say, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure that was God? Are you one of them there, 10 spies? Would you be in that part of the play? I want to be on the part of the play with, you know, Joshua and Caleb. I want to be the one that says, it's okay, they're there. It'll be a little difficult, but God will prevail. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's another story in itself. Be watchful of those around you that sometimes trip you up. And they do it in not on purpose sometimes. It's just they've not seen what you've seen with God. They've not been with God where you've been with God. And they've got to understand that. And you've got to have to say, well, you may think I'm crazy, but this is what God is saying. Anyway, hallelujah. So, survive is okay, but let's thrive. Amen. Shall we pray?